Well, now we shall discuss the eighth chapter, which is on the consumer data tracking techniques. As we know, the consumer is a very important element or entity in retail. So we need to understand the precise behavioral elements of the consumer. Hence, we need sophisticated information technology to create the exact information and process the information so that further efforts are improved in terms of managing customers, in terms of inviting more customers and creating better profits for the company. So after going through this chapter, you will be able to understand the process of collecting data from the point of purchase, discuss the data mining and customer clustering techniques, explain how to leverage the potential of retail analytics, and answer the critical questions for analyzing of customer data. So in this and the next few slides, we are going to take an introductory look at this particular chapter. The data collection and processing is extremely critical to the retail industry, and thus this chapter focuses on different data collection and processing strategies in retail. Primary data collection methods have been understood and studied to a great degree. For example, volumes can be written on the proper way to conduct a survey-based study. So most of us know what a survey-based study is. It's basically creating a set of questions and surveying a sample of population for specific requirements. Traditionally, most of the data mining work using retail transaction data has focused on approaches that use clustering or the segmentation strategies. Each customer is profiled based on similar customers and placed in one or more clusters. This is usually done to overcome the data sparseness problem and results in systems that are able to overcome the variance in shopping behaviors of individual customers while losing precision on any one customer. So let us say if a customer is buying a brand like a BlackBerry, or probably in apparels a suit like Couttons or any other brand like Raymond's. But the problem here is if Raymond's has about 6 to 7 suits or varieties of suits, like let us say one suit might be created in cashmere wool, one suit might be created in linen, one suit might be created in polyester, and so on. So if there are not many customers who buy these many suits, so then there would be a data sparseness. So in order to actually have a cumulative amount of data, the sample is taken. In a difficult economy, retailers may also need to adopt first those analytical applications that have saved money for other adopters, including pricing and assortment optimization. So today's times, there is a lot of change happening. There's a lot of competition in every sector of the industry, and the competition in retail is really immense. So in this context, the retailers need intelligent solutions. They need to learn from the competitors and include various strategies, more importantly, pricing and assortment optimization. Now let us discuss the first important element here, that is collecting data from the point of purchase. The basic functionality of the POS system, that is the point of sale system, is to enforce a process onto the retail operations, that is an efficient way of doing business. A POS will enforce set of disciplines on your day-to-day operations. Think about operating in that specific environment. POS systems are based on accounting rules and regulations. So let us, for example, say a person manning a POS has the habit of reconciling data after every 8 hours. Now, if the POS thinks it's more efficient to do so in 4 hours, then the person will be forced to do so in 4 hours because of the system requirements. Thus, retailers have been collecting large quantities of point of sale data in many different industries. One area that has been particularly active in terms of collecting this type of data is the grocery retailing. Loyalty card programs at many grocery chains have resulted in the capture of millions of transactions and purchases directly associated with the customers making. So, grocery is one particular item wherein the customer preferences can be known. If you go to large stores like Reliance Fresh or other big outlets like a DMart or a Big Bazaar, people don't just buy grocery in a few 500 grams. They buy in kgs. So they might buy 3.5 kgs of onions, which are packed that way. They might buy huge pieces of cabbage or other things. They might buy a couple of kgs of apples or the seasonal fruit. So this is, a large revenue source for the malls. Hence, they need to have particularly, analytical and intelligent systems on the point of sales in the malls. The data collection systems have been in place for several years, but systems to make sense of this data and create actionable results have not been very successful. This is not to say that there has been no work attempted on retail transaction data. Research and Mining Association rules has led to methods to optimize product assortments within a store by mining frequent item sets from basket data. So, there have been certain algorithms for data to be mined in a particular manner. Data is grouped or segregated or as said, put in a basket so that it can be useful on a further basis. So, customer segmentation, meaning you can create various groups or segments of customers having certain commonalities, has been used with basket analysis. So, basket analysis ideally in layman's term, in simple terms, can be those people who have certain commonalities who can be put in certain product preferences. So, this has been done in basket analysis or with basket analysis in the direct marketing industry for many years to determine which customers to send mailers to. So, direct marketing is that marketing wherein email campaigns are run or door-to-door campaigns are done and so on. Additionally, a line of research based on marketing techniques developed by Ehrenberg, one of the marketing gurus, seeks to use a purchase incidence model with anonymous data in a collaborative filtering setting. So, what this basically does is it actually captures the situations or incidents which have been collected by the point of sale or point of purchase. So, this data is anonymous, it's voluminous data, but it can be processed using certain algorithms and can be used in a cognizant manner or in a collaborative manner. Let us now discuss the concept of data mining in the retail sector. Traditionally, most of the data mining work using retail transaction data has focused on approaches that use clustering or segmentation strategies. Now, we've discussed this in the past slide. Segmentation is nothing but creating groups of people or clusters of people having certain commonalities or certain common characteristics when it comes to their shopping preferences. Each customer is profiled based on other similar customers and placed in one or more cluster. This is usually done to overcome the data sparseness problem. In fact, this we have discussed in a previous slide. Sparseness means less amount of data. So for certain costly products, if there are customers who are few and far in between, then data or information at the point of purchase would be really scarce or really sparse. So that the systems are able to overcome the variance in the shopping behaviors of individual customers while losing precision on any one customer. Well, it's logical if you actually try to find commonalities between 8 different people. So what will happen is you will get a uniformity or you will get more data, but each individual's unique data will be lost. For example, if I like purchasing a grocery which is more of fruits in grocery than vegetables, and if somebody else also purchases grocery but they like purchasing leafy vegetables, the third person might like purchasing you can say more of nutritional seeds, and the fourth person might like purchasing salad material. So what will happen here is we are all grocery customers for a particular mall, but we are not identical in terms of the exact purchases. A major reason that individually targeted applications have not been more prominent in retail data mining research is that in the past there have been no individual channels to the customer for brick and mortar retailers. So there was no way before the advent of specific applications of knowing the exact preferences. These were only done through the skillful observation of retailers if they had a knack for it. Now we have spoken about direct marketing. One of the mechanisms here is direct mail, which is used in cognizance with data mining. So direct mail is coarse grained. Coarse grained means it is not too specific to a particular customer, it is more of generic and not very effective, as it requires the attention of customers at times when they are not shopping and may not be actively thinking about what they need. So it's just, you know, a mail sent at any random time wherein the customer might not be in a mindset to go out and shop those specific items. The other direct mechanism is a coupon based initiative given at the checkout time. These are seen as irrelevant as they can only be delivered after the point of sale. So once the customer has been through the rigmarole of a checkout line, has spent more time at the lines and at the POS counter, they will generally not be inclined to take these coupons. The IBM Easy Order system and a system developed at Georgia Tech uses the PDAs to display personalized grocery information to each shopper before and during their shopper trips. In the first system, a list is first developed on the PDA, then sent to the store to be compiled and picked up. In the second, the PDA or a personal digital assistant was used as a help or an aid during the shopping trip to show locations and information on items in a list. So basically each shopper gets a PDA, or probably the shopping cart that they use might have a PDA installed in it, wherein the shopper actually understands what number of items are, you know, in his list, where the items are located. This actually reduces a lot of time for the shopper. A list is generated once the shopping is done and sent wirelessly to the counter where a bill is generated. So this is an excellent way of actually easing the shopping experience. In each, the shopping list was emphasized as the essential artifact of a grocery trip, enabling all other interactions. So what we mean here is the list that was created, okay, was a very important component of this trip, but also stated as a design goal that it should be possible to compile or augment a shopping list per customer based on previous purchase history. So that is where data mining comes into picture. So every time a person who is loyal to a particular mall shops with a particular grocery list, the next time this list should be available with the mall. The retail industry collects large amount of data on sales and customer shopping history. The quantity of data collected continues to expand rapidly, especially due to the increasing ease, availability, and popularity of business conducted on the web or e-commerce. Now let us take a look at the field of customer relationship management. Your customer segmentation, as we've discussed earlier, plays an important part. Customer segmentation is a vital ingredient in a retail organization's marketing recipe. It can offer insights into how different segments respond to shifts in demographics, fashions, and trends. So it's extremely important to understand the fashions, the demographics, the trends, the lifestyle elements, personality related preferences of various customers. Customers who respond to new promotions may be cluttered or segmented into one particular cluster. Customers who respond to new product launches may be another part of the cluster. Customers who respond to discounts and customers who show an interest or a propensity to purchase specific products. So there might be some customers who might be big fans of Apple products in consumer electronics. So if they have to purchase a phone, they will prefer an Apple iPhone. If they have to purchase a laptop, they will have to, they will prefer the MacBook. If they want to prefer, if they want any listening related or music related equipment, they will probably go for the iPod. And of course, tablets, they will select the iPad. So there are certain customers who behave in that manner. Now, as a part of CRM, data mining also plays important role in campaign or promotion effectiveness analysis. So as the name says, this is a post analysis or assessment after a particular promotional campaign has been completed. So once a campaign is launched, its effectiveness can be studied across different media and in terms of costs and benefits. This greatly helps in developing an understanding of what goes into a successful campaign. So whether the efforts have actually met up with the returns, whether the people were involved in such a campaign, and so on. So these kind of questions are ideally answered through these particular campaigns. The next is the customer lifetime value, or CLV. In this case, not all customers are equally profitable. That means if it's, let us say, if it's an electronic store like a Croma, and in Croma customers, let us say it, a particular outlet of Croma receives about 2000 customers in a day. So in this case, not all 2000 will be equally profitable. Some might buy products which are more costly or have a more profit margin than others. So CLV attempts to calculate some projected relative measure of value by calculating the risks adjusted revenue as well as risk adjusted loss and adding to some net present value and deducting the value of servicing the customer. So this is extremely important. You need to know what amount of profit is your real profit and how it is obtained from a diverse, you can say, or a variety of customers who shop at the retail outlets. The next element is the customer potential. Also, there are those customers who are not very profitable today, but may have the potential of being profitable in future. So let us say a customer who currently owns a Lenovo laptop, which is 3 years old, but wants to upgrade or shows propensity or interest in upgrading to a MacBook. So let us say Lenovo costed him about 40,000 and a MacBook would cost about 85 to 90,000. So the customer is not valuable today, but maybe 2 months down the line, he might just choose to buy a MacBook from you, becoming profitable in the future. Hence, it is absolutely essential to identify customers with high potential before deciding what the best way or what is the best way to realize that potential is through the right marketing stimuli. So you need to understand that a stimulus needs to be given to the customer, a motivation needs to be given to the customer in order to make them buy and increase profitability. The next element is that of cross-selling. Cross-selling in retail means selling. Once you've sold one product, you can sell different products in the same line. For example, if you've already sold a pair of trousers to a person in an apparel retail setting, you can sell him also a pair of shirts which cost in a similar range. So retailers use the vast amount of customer information available with them to cross-sell other products at the time of purchase. This can be done through product portfolio analysis. So portfolio is nothing but the different, you know, products within the same range, within the same line, and then selling the products that are missing from typical portfolios. Also, market basket analysis, which we had discussed earlier, can be another good method for effective cross-selling. The next element is that of product pricing. Pricing is one of the most crucial marketing decisions taken by retailers. As you know, pricing can make or break retail organizations. For example, if the products are overpriced, the people might simply go to the competitors. If the products are underpriced, you might have more people visiting your mall, but you might not have room left for any profits. So the products need to be optimally priced so that you have people coming to the mall or the retail outlet, as well as people being satisfied and not going to the competitors and you earning a profit. Often an increase in price can result in lower sales, that what we've discussed, and customer adaptation of replacement products. So using data warehousing and data mining techniques, retailers can develop sophisticated pricing models for different products, which can establish price sales relationships for the product and how changes in the prices affect the sale of other products. So useful information can be culled out of the databases, giving more knowledge and information about the future and how to plan specific pricing strategies. Customer relationship marketing management also includes target marketing or response modeling. In this context, the retailers can enhance or they can optimize the overall marketing and promotion efforts by targeting campaigns to specific customers or groups of customers. So let us, for example, say people in a particular area. Let us consider Ghatkopar. So people living in Ghatkopar near the station area are predominantly Gujarati people. So there might be other people as well, but at least 70% to 80% people who go to retail outlets close by are Gujarati. Their preferences probably might be towards some particular grocery items which might be different from Maharashtrians or Christian or Muslim people. So in this case, campaigns can be specifically targeted for these particular people or this particular segment. Target marketing can be based on a very simple analysis of the buying habits of the customer or the customer groups.